Habakkuk chapter 1, the verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. I draw your attention to the opening words, the burden. That's our subject this morning, the burden of the word. The burden of the word. This is what Habakkuk calls his book. He calls it a burden. That's how he feels about it. And he's right. Because God's word is a burden. It's a burden. And that's what we're wanting to consider today. You know what a burden is. Burden is something that's weighty, heavy. But it's also something that has to be lifted up and carried. It's a burden that's felt. A burden is a package of some kind of heavy material, all wrapped up, all tied up, and it has to be lifted up and carried, has to be delivered. And it was a common sight in Bible days, even as it is today, I suppose, to see people carrying their burdens, their shopping, their businesses. They're carrying their business about. I know we have modern transport to do it in cars and all the rest, but still at the end of the day, you still have to get the burden out and to carry it, person to person. So it's always a common sight in human society to see someone with a burden, but the man of God has a burden. It's the burden of the word. And that's how every prophet viewed God's word. And you see this so often in Scripture. Malachi said, the burden of the word of the Lord. And Zechariah said, the burden of the word of the Lord. Zechariah 9, verse 1, and Zechariah 12, verse 1. It's a common occurrence in Scripture. But why is God's word painted as something burdensome? I want to reflect on that this morning. And I want to give you some reasons which I trust the Lord will bless to our edification and for our instruction. Let me take this subject, the burden of the word, in two ways. First of all, I want to take it in regard to the word itself, the Holy Scriptures, the book of God. We want to see why God's word is weary, why it is heavy material. But then secondly, we also want to see the persons that the word is weary to, because there are persons who have to bear the weight of this word, and they're identified with it, and they're associated with it. Various kinds of persons, not just the preacher, but others as well. And we want to see why and in what regards that word is to them a burden. So we want to see those persons also. But first of all then, in regard to the word itself, is the Bible heavy? Is the Bible weighty? Indeed it is. And I'm not talking about it physically. Our Bibles physically are various different sizes, and you can actually print quite light copies of the Bible today. And so the weight of it physically varies according to paper, according to size, and the type of covers that's on it. Probably the heaviest Bible we have here is the pulpit Bible here before us. But clearly, we're not talking about it being heavy physically. Even a pulpit Bible, we can manage it. It's not that burdensome, really. Relatively easy. No, the prophets are not talking about something physical. Even though Habakkuk may have had to write his prophecy on tablets, on tables of stone, we're not talking about something physically. We're talking about the words, aren't we? We're talking about the message of the book. It's weary. It's burdensome. We're talking about the meaning in the Scriptures. We're talking about the teaching, the doctrine. It's It's heavy. There are things heavy about the message. So weary, in fact, as sometimes to be nearly unbearable. And even actually unbearable if God's assistance was not given. Why does God's word have weight? First of all, God's word has weight simply because it's God's word. It's the word of God. It's not the word of a mere man. And so God's word is not chaff. You know, we speak a lot, and much of it's really chaff and just a waste of words, really, and just falls to the ground, and it's forgotten about, and maybe it's best that way. Our words are like chaff, really, blown away and gone. But God's word is not like that. It's not light. It's not frivolous. It's not vain. In fact, the Lord says to Jeremiah, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So if you've got my word, tell it. What's the chaff to be compared to the wheat, to my word, which is like a hammer? It's heavy. It's weighty. And so it is. Sometimes in an assembly of, or in sometimes in a parliament or a kind of assembly, there may be an elderly man or a senior man, one with long experience. I think in our parliament, such a man is called the father of the house. And their opinion is often sought. They often want to hear in difficult matters his word, because they know that the word of a senior, of one who has a lot of parliamentary experience, they know that such a word carries weight. But what shall we say about the everlasting God? What shall we say of the Father of eternity? What shall we say of the all-wise and the omniscient Creator? Surely his word will carry the greatest weight of all. It is sometimes said to men in solemn or serious situations, now you weigh up your words very carefully before you speak. And every minister feels that. He doesn't just blurt off unprepared. Every minister weighs up his words carefully before he speaks, because preaching is always a solemn occasion. And we want our words to have weight. And so in a serious situation, every speaker is to weigh up their words by preparation to make sure that they have the weight for the occasion. And God's word is like that. It's not fluffy and airy-fairy and flattering and nice. No, it's solemn and serious. There's not a vain word. There's not an empty word. There's not a flattering word. Everything is serious and sound and solid. God's word is solid truth, and therefore it is weighty and it's burdensome. In fact, the psalmist sometimes compares God's word to gold. And you know that gold is a precious metal for a number of reasons, but one of them is it's because it's weighty. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold. I love thy commandments above gold, the psalmist said. And he has in mind the preciousness of the word, the value. But he has also in mind its solid weight. It is God's word. And therefore it is the heaviest word of all. And so the Bible is worth reading, isn't it? The Bible is worth studying. It carries more weight than all the libraries of human works. You put all the libraries of human works on the side of the scale. Empty everything that man ever wrote on the side of the scale, but put on the other side God's words. And we know which is the weightiest. And all the human writings just go up in the air when they're weighed against the word of God. And so it's solid. It's powerful. It's weighty. Because God is God. And he is powerful and weighty. But also, not only because it is the words of God, the Bible is weighty also because it is a revelation of God. It is a revelation of the greatest being in the universe. It is a book about God, by God. Now, what can be heavier than that? What can compare to the weight of that? A book that God has given to reveal himself. To reveal himself. What can outweigh that? Not only his words, but his words about himself. This book is the inspired and infallible teaching about God. We learn a lot about God from creation. And we can meditate on the pages of creation oftentimes and think about the glories of God. But there is nothing reveals him like his spoken revelation. When he tells us about himself. And while we can learn much of the glory of God in creation, it is only in the infallible weight of the words of God that we learn about the adorable Trinity. We learn that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is the weight of his words that reveal to us the mystery of the triune nature of God. And so he reveals himself. And he wants his creatures to know him. And this book does that. And what really can be more important than that? Why would you take up your time with the frivolous, the vanities of human writings merely, and all the while neglect the Bible? What can be more important than knowing God? And you only know God in his word. Did not the Lord Jesus say, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent," to know God. And this book causes us to know God. And because of that, it is of more value than weight than all, even the gold in the universe. It's weighty. The sum and substance of the book is God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. It's about Christ our Redeemer. They are there that testify of me, Jesus said. The book's about me. In the volume of the book, he says, it is written of me. And because it's a book about Christ, it's weighty. What can have more weight and value than the person of the Son of God incarnate for us sinners and dying on a cross to reconcile us to God? What can be more weighty than that? What can be more precious than that? Even the angels want to study that. That's why this volume is weighty. It's the burden. It's the heavy word. But I do have to point out, thirdly, that the word is not just weighty. And that's not the word that the prophet uses. He's not just talking about weight. The word that he uses is burden. And a burden is a weight that you feel. A weight that somehow you must carry. And that's the word that he uses, because this book has to be borne. It has to be carried. And so while it is weighty, it is more than that. It's a weighty burden. It's a weight that is felt. What makes it to be a weight that is felt? And why do we feel it so oftentimes burdensome? Not only because it's God's word, but also because it's God's word about solemn, burdensome things. The kind of things that men don't want to hear about. That men don't want to be laid on them. That men don't want to be told about. And so when they're told about them, they're burdensome things. And that's why people don't want to go under the word. Because they don't want to feel the burden of the word. They don't want to carry it. They don't want to feel its weight. They just want to sit at home and be at ease. Not be challenged by it. Not be searched out by it. But that's not what God's word is. It's burdensome. And we have to bring ourselves under the burden of it. It's that aspect of the word of God that this word mainly has reference to. And it is this sense that the prophets often used the word. It was these aspects of the word that made it a burden to them to have to tell sinners. You see, this word denounces us. This word shows us our sin. This word tells about the burden of sin. And therefore it's burdensome. It's a burden. We read Psalm 38. It was why we read it. Because the psalmist said, "There mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And that's what sin is. It's a burden. It brings a burden to the conscience. And what a burden sin places on society. What heaviness it brings to people and to nations. What havoc and hurt sin reaps. It's burdensome. It's terrible. It takes its toll. Terrible pain has been caused by sin. Terrible damage, awful hurt and harm, and tears and losses. The burden of sin. How many homes have been wrecked by the sins of gambling and drunkenness and covetousness? What devastation sin has made. And this book exposes sin. And it's heavy. It's burdensome. And Habakkuk has seen something of that sin in the nation. The prophets saw it all the time. And the burden of sin was revealed to them. And so this Bible expresses something of the burdensome of sin. But there's something else that especially makes it burdensome. A burdensome book to a fallen, sinful world. It is the judgments it pronounces. It is the promised divine devastations that God shall bring upon sin and upon sinners. And this is probably one of the main reasons why the prophets looked upon their writings as burdensome, because of the announcements of divine wrath that they had to make. And that's what this prophet Habakkuk had to do. He had to announce the Chaldeans. While he saw the sin of the people, he saw that judgment was coming at the hand of the Babylonians. And it was a heavy burden to him. Judgment. The wrath of God. Who can bear it? Who can carry it? Who can even describe it? And so to the men of God, it was the burden that they must bear. And this is what Habakkuk has in mind too. The coming judgment. And so the prophets, they very often use the expressions burden with the people that are going to be judged. For example, they would say the burden of Babylon, or the burden of Damascus. Nahum, a contemporary of Habakkuk, he called his book the burden of Nineveh, because God is going to destroy Nineveh. God is going to judge Nineveh and bring this great city down. And because they prophesied of that coming judgment, they called it the burden. Because God's judgment is burdensome. In fact, sometimes in the Bible, God's judgment is called his heavy hand. The heavy hand of God. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them. There was a deadly destruction throughout all the city because the hand of God was very heavy there. Oh, the heavy hand of God in judgment. God has a heavy hand against sinners who despise his grace and refuse his salvation and don't repent and turn from their sin. It's a burdensome judgment that is announced. So we've seen the reasons why God's word is weighty and burdensome. Let us now consider then, secondly, the persons that feel this weight. There are persons that are identified and associated with that word, and it is a burden to them. The burden of Habakkuk. The burden which he had to bear and to carry. We want to see those persons. Let's start off with God. His word is even a burden to him in regards to human sin. Sin is burdensome to man, but I tell you this, it's also burdensome to God. It stirs him to judgment. It wearies him. Like a man carrying a burden. He gets tired and he gets weary. He just gets fed up with it all the time and he just flings it away. And sins like that to God. He takes it for a while. It wearies him. He carries it for a while. And then his long suffering just ends. And he deals with it. It's burdensome to God. Don't you think God sins trivial to God? It's a heavy weight to him. Did not he say to the people, he says, behold, I am pressed under you. As a cart that is pressed and overladen and full of the sheaves of harvest. You know the farmer, he does the harvesting and he fills a cart and is pressed down. And God says, I'm like that. You've pressed me down with the fruit and the harvest of your sins. Like a cart under the weight. Imagine God saying that. It's a burden to God. So don't just think this is some burden to the prophet. It's God's word. It's his burden too. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? You remember how he said to the people of God with all the religiosity, but no real heart for him. You remember how he said to them, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates them. All these special days you have and this and that and the other, and you haven't got a heart for me at all. He says, I'm fed up with it. I hate it. They're a trouble to me. And this is the expression. I am weary to bear them. I'm weary to bear them. These special days you have, and all these occasions, and your heart's not right with me. I'm sick of it. I'm weary to bear them. So the prophet's word about that is a burden, not only to the prophet, but to the Lord. God's burden. His response to that sin. And so he comes with a heavy heart. Never think that God's judgment against sin is a light thing to him. Even his judgment is burdensome to him. He restrains wrath. He is long-suffering. He holds back. He delights in mercy. Mercy's not burdensome. He delights in mercy. He waits to show mercy. That's where his heart is. But where sinners are stubborn, these judgments are necessary. And they're just and they're right. But I want you to know that these judgments are a burden to God. They're a burden to God. Just like they were a burden to the prophet to have to announce them, they're a burden to God. All these threatenings are a weight to God. Say unto them, the Lord says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want the wicked to turn. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? That's what God says. I have no pleasure in your death. I have no pleasure in your destruction. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. In those words, God is expressing something of the burdensome of him having to judge the people. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's judgment is his just and right work, but it's his strange work. He doesn't delight in it the same as in mercy. It's a burden to him. Let's think about the Lord Jesus and his relationship to the scriptures. Because the Lord Jesus bore the Bible and he had the Bible, and as he read the Bible and he studied the Bible, what did he see? He felt the burden of it. And we should often think about the Lord Jesus reading the Bible. Now, how would he read this? And what way would he take this to himself? He's the Messiah. How would he apply this word to him? And very often the application would be a burden. Because he bore a unique relationship to the Bible. And this Bible continually showed him the cup that he must drink. This cup in Gethsemane, of which he said, "Oh, let it pass from me if it be thy will, but if it's not thy will, I'll drink it." This cup. Where did he see that cup? In the burden of the word. That's where he saw it. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. And the Bible was about him, and he knew it. And there are they which testify of me, he says. And there was much in the Bible that was a burden to him. Now, of course, there were promises and things that encouraged him. There were comforts and joys that sustained him in his sinless humanity. And there were the heights of Scripture associated with great joy that he no doubt experienced. But there were also the valleys of Scripture that he had to go into that reminded him of the curse and of the judgment. And the curses of the law, and what befalls those who have sin upon them. And he bore not an ordinary load of sin. He bore the sin of the world. And he knew what that meant. What befell Jerusalem would befall him even greater as the substitute of his people. The full curses of the law of God broken that are so often referred to in the Bible, he would bear. He knew it. He was made a curse for us, and he felt it. And every time he read the Scriptures, that burden came upon him. When he read Psalm 22, knowing what was before him, "They pierce my hands and my feet. They surround me, they gape upon me, they cry out against me with their mouths. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 69. Isaiah 53, "He was wounded, he was bruised, he was chastened sore." The burden of the Lord. He felt the burden of the word as he carried our sin. If anybody knew what this expression meant, the burden, it was Jesus Christ. It was heavy to him. We can never fathom the weight he bore. But he knows what Habakkuk means. There are many scriptures that we could collect and write over them. The burden of Messiah. The burden of the sin-bearing substitute. You take your pen and go through the Old Testament, and there are massive amounts of portions of God's word where you could write that. The burdensome of bearing the divine wrath against human sin. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." The burden of Messiah. "Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord, smite the shepherd." That's the burden of Messiah. It was also a burden to the prophets, wasn't it? They could appreciate the meaning of that word. Because those weighty things, they had to carry them and they had to bear them to the people. It was a burden to do it. It's a burden to go and tell them. It's a burden on several scores. It's a burden because it's God's word and they have to be faithful with it. That's a burden. They're watchmen. They're custodians of God's truth. They're stewards who have to be careful with the word. And that's a burden. They can't add to it. They can't take away from it. They just simply have to declare it. All the counsel of God. And they're to be careful that they never misrepresent God. And that's a burden for a preacher. To be faithful to the word and just stick to the text. That's why I don't like going off in stories and telling you wee tales. Stick to the text. Everything out of Scripture. What God says. Not your fanciful imagination and all your deep research. We have a burden to declare what God says. And we must never misrepresent him. And always say, thus saith the Lord. And never go beyond that. And certainly never fall short of that. That's a burden for a preacher. Oh, the burden of the word. That's why many men, before they went into ministry, they would rather let it lie. They would rather let others take it up. But they have a call. And they feel the weight of carrying the word. That's why he writes at the start of his book, it's the burden. It's the burden. It's God's burden I'm giving you. And then another reason is that they have to tell men what they don't want to hear. Sin and judgment. Nobody wants to hear about that. This is a burden to them, the prophets. Because they're men themselves, they feel. They feel that they themselves are sinners for a start. How can they announce judgment against sinners whenever they're sinners themselves and they deserve the judgment of God? That's a burden for a preacher. Preacher doesn't stand up here as self-righteous. He has to tell his fellow men, his fellow sinners. He has to tell his fellow sinners about the judgment of God, about their sin. And that's a burden. Not easy for a preacher to preach hell. Do you think the prophets liked doing this? Do you think they were had some sort of psychopath in their mind, psychopath mentality, would just love doing it? Was that what a prophet is to you? No, it was a burden to tell them about the coming judgment of God. They didn't delight in it, and they didn't want sinners to be judged. They wanted them to obtain mercy. And so don't you think the preacher picks the hell texts out of joy? So don't despise poor preachers whenever they have to preach the judgment of God. It's part of the burden. And then lastly, it's called a burden because this is what it lays on the sinner. A burden to God, a burden to the Son of God incarnate, a burden to preachers who must deliver the word, a burden to them that hear it. It lays on the sinner a heavy load. It tells the sinner you must turn and repent and believe or be damned. It announces to the sinner what will become of him. The burden of Nineveh, you will fall, Nineveh. The burden of Babylon, you will fall, Babylon. The burden of all the pride, you will fall, you pride, unrepentant sinners. The burden of the Christ rejecter, you will fall eventually and perish. And you will fall into that awful, unspeakable place called hell. That's the burden that is announced. But it is announced beforehand in the mercy of God that you might flee to Christ, that you might find mercy. God, as it were, doesn't just drop you straight into hell and that's it. No. He lets you feel something of the burden of the judgment, that you might repent, that you might turn, that you might believe, that you might get to Christ, that you might flee to the Savior who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," who have felt something of the burden of the word on your soul, who have experienced something of the conviction of sin, and at last you now, through grace, know you're a sinner. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. And this is why we have the burden of the Lord, to drive sinners, not to hell, but away from hell, to Christ. You must come to Christ. And the burden of heaven, and the burden of the prophet, and the burden of the Christian church, and the burden of the Redeemer, who bore our sin, calls you to come to him.